Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, John Karsibayev.
Hi there, my name is Maria Pope. I work at Republic and I am our Venture Programs and Community Manager.
Maria, thanks so much for making time to join us on the Ivy Podcast. I'm very excited about today's conversation and all the things that you're currently building at Republic. But before we do that, give us a thumbnail version of your career prior to that.
Oh gosh. Okay, thumbnail version. I started off a nonprofit actually, working in the community development space. And loved that work, loved the emphasis on relationship and the missional element to things. However, I wanted to, you know, see change and innovation maybe happen at a faster pace is maybe the way I would categorize it. And I also started working for a female founder at some point in that journey. And that really helped me see the startup and entrepreneurship world and the different possibilities available within that, field. And then after that, I realized I really wanted to work full-time supporting entrepreneurs and founders. And so I pivoted into my first, I guess, full-time role in the startup world was working at Black Girl Ventures, which is a nation-based crowdfunding platform, and got to work, you know, directly with a lot of these amazing female entrepreneurs. But I realized I wanted to learn more about the investing side so I could help founders, especially minority and underrepresented founders, grow and scale their businesses. So that's why I came over here to Republic. And at Republic, we do equity crowdfunding. We have a private venture arm. And then we also do early stage crypto advising. I mainly support our equity crowdfunding work through running the venture partner program. And then I also work doing a lot of partnerships as well.
Wow, that's super exciting. Very diverse background. And thank you for sharing that. So tell us a little bit more about your current role at Republic. Maybe a little bit more background and color around what is the venture program in general? What is that all about? Our audience, I think, is very familiar with venture capital, you know, entrepreneurship and investment space, but maybe not necessarily on the venture partner side.
Yeah, definitely. So, okay, I think I would say my role falls into three different categories. How I spend most of my time, which is running the venture partner program. So that is our private community of over 250 VCs, angels, and people in the what we would consider an ecosystem builder, so somebody that plays in this early stage investment space. And then I do partnerships. That's kind of the second bucket. And then the third bucket, I would say, is events. Actually, that's kind of become a larger part of my job now, is coordinating events for our team, for the retail team, and then for venture partners specifically. But to drill down on the venture partner program, so this program started 2 years ago, actually during the pandemic. Cheryl Campos, my old boss, who is a Republic rock star, has been here since the very beginning. She's now at Stanford Business School, but she created this program really to just bring together, you know, missionally aligned investors around democratizing access to capital, very similar to Republic's mission. And our goal, you know, is to essentially diversify the pipeline of deal flow that we're getting into the Republic platform. And that community has grown over time, right? At first, it was just a couple of people. And then Cheryl really realized, wow, there's actually a need for this, you know, for investors to have community in the same way that it's important for founders to have community as well. So now we just launched our VP10, our 10th cohort of venture partners, which is insane to think about. So yeah, and every cohort, we usually do a cohort every quarter, and it's about 35 to 45 folks in the ecosystem from all over the country and the world. Actually, it's global. We acquired Seeders, which is the UK's largest crowdfunding platform. They actually have a venture partner program as well. I was just in London. We got to do an event with some of them. So super exciting to just see the global presence of our venture partners, the type of deal flow they're bringing in, and just to see them collaborate, right? I think that's one of my favorite things about this program is, seeing the opportunities and worlds that open up when venture partners meet each other. And are able to actually, you know, actively collaborate, whether that's co-investing or, you know, having someone on a podcast or sitting on a pitch competition judge or something like that. And just sharing deal flow in general, I think that's been huge for our program.
Yeah, that's super exciting. And being a venture partner myself with you guys, I can definitely attest to the the power of a network, the power of collaboration. I think there's a lot of different opportunities that come about, you know, for both sides, for the venture partners themselves, for the founders, for the entrepreneurs, and then for you guys as the platform that really provides all the tools and solutions for that ecosystem. So you've been in the space for quite some time, and you know, in venture and just venture partner, what you guys are building with crowdfunding as well. What are the different trends that are you mostly excited about these days that you're observing maybe in this particular area or moving forward with everything that's going on in the current markets? Maybe just share some insights. What are you personally very excited about?
Yeah. Oh gosh. What am I personally excited about? I mean, two areas that I kind of like thesis areas, I suppose, that I'm really curious and interested in are fintech and then just anything consumer, specifically like creator economy. Yeah, I think, you know, we're all creators, right? Like we all are creating something that we're putting out there to the world. And I love that some of these businesses are really making it actually affordable and sustainable for these creators to actually have a career, you know, doing what they love, because a lot of those things were not able to really be profitable in the past, especially in like the art world of things. In the more creative side. And then fintech, I was just at a conference in the Netherlands talking about financial inclusion, mainly in emerging economies. And that's something I'm super excited about because, you know, as we know, the markets are going crazy right now. There's lots of layoffs, like a ton is happening. And that is like a huge wake up call, I think, here in the US. But I think the reality is like everywhere in the world and here in the US, you know, people are hurting and financial mobility. And economic mobility is a huge like gap that we have, disparity gap all across the world. And so inclusive fintech is something that I'm really passionate about. I'm excited to learn more about. I love that I work at a fintech company that's actually actively trying to solve this problem. And I want to lean further into that in the future. So yeah, I think there's a lot of crazy things going on in the market, but it's a great time to really like double down on your thesis, why you care about what you care about. And to really dig in and learn, right? Because there's a lot of unknowns. And with any investing, there comes risk, right? But risk is a really beautiful thing if you can, you know, lean into it and take strategic risk.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely very interesting concepts and trends that I'm also, you know, very curious about. And to double click on that a little bit further, when it comes to opportunities and alternative ways, maybe creative ways for founders to get funding for their startups and their companies, you know, you've mentioned as Republic, the equity crowdfunding is definitely an interesting concept that is rather novel. You know, it hasn't existed, I think, in the past, you know, past couple of years, I even want to say, or at least not in my circles, I've been very closely hearing that founders are exploring that as an option, which is super exciting because definitely the more options that the founders have, the more, you know, they can actually get to what they do best, which is building companies. Maybe shed a little bit more light on the equity crowdfunding piece. How is that different? What is the value for the founder? And actually maybe how does that work in general? That would be great to get a little more intel on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I love that you said about just founders having resources, right? And that's the way that I always talk about equity crowdfunding is it's a tool and your founder toolkit when you're thinking about fundraising. And it's not for everyone. I think that's something I would say on the offset. You know, we work with all different types of companies, so we're vertical agnostic. But I would say in a general sense, you know, this is crowdfunding, meaning that it goes out to retail investors, not just, you know, VCs or what we would consider sophisticated investors. So something that's really important when we think about the companies that we're going to put on the platform is, and this isn't a real word, but the concept of crowdfundability, right? Something that everyday consumers and investors can understand, but that also tells a compelling story, right? That being said, we do work with a lot of fintech businesses as well and B2B SaaS, but those are always things that I mention. But essentially the way crowdfunding works, so like you said, you're absolutely correct. This did not exist until about 6 years ago, which is when Republic started. And there was basically the Jobs Act was passed and there was an exemption where accredited and non-accredited investors can now invest into early stage startup deals, which is a huge deal because it's democratizing this asset class of VC, which, you know, traditionally has only been available to accredited investors, which that's about 10% of the US, right? And so, yeah, we've been able to do that. And then last year, actually, there was another amendment passed. You can now raise up to $5 million on a Reg CF platform, regulation crowdfunding. And then as an investor, you can, you know, invest in these companies. There is still some limits given like your income, but you're able to invest in these early stage companies, which again is, you know, revolutionary. And now your portfolio construction across like all of your investments and now alternative investments. And this means that you can start angel investing at a young age, right? Or without a ton of cash. So it's definitely a benefit to everyday retail investors. And then on the founder side of things, you know, you're able to raise money, but it's more than just money, right? There's the capital, but really what I tell founders when we talk about Reg CF is you want to have a strategy beyond just the capital, right? Like if you're going to do a Reg CF raise, that means that it's also marketing, it's branding, it's messaging, it's, you know, leveraging your community, not only getting the mission and the product or service out there in front of the community, but inviting them to actually have a stake in your business, right? So this is turning your customers into your investors. And aligning your interests more long-term. It also means that you now have access to, you know, depending on how much you end up raising from how many investors, let's say 1,000, right? You now have access to 1,000 value-add investors, right? And not that all of them will necessarily be that, but there are definitely, that's a huge plus that I see to having all of these founders now on your team. It does roll up and summarize to one line on the cap table. So that's great. Keep your cap table clean, but you do have access to all those investors. So the next time you have a product launch or, you know, maybe you need help or you need a mentor in a certain area, right? That's more people on your team that you can leverage to grow and scale your business. And then on the venture partner side of things too, which I always share with founders is that, you know, we have people like you, right? We have this whole network of folks that are on the Republic team, the greater Republic team that can help you, whether that's follow-on funding later down the line. We've had several venture partners come to me and say, you know, hey, can I talk to this company that's raising on Republic, we're super interested in, possibly want to invest on them, right? That is like the best thing we could hear. And so, yeah, we're super excited to support founders and have this greater, you know, network of retail investors, of our venture partners that can all help our portfolio companies grow and scale. But to summarize, if you are a founder, you can raise up to $5 million on Reg CF. If you're a retail investor, this is a great way to diversify your portfolio and, you know, invest in alternative assets. Yeah, and we're super excited for what we're growing and building and, you know, our global presence now with Cedars as well.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's super interesting. And it's, you know, I can see the value at all across, you know, for the founders, for the newer investors, and having that opportunity to invest, you know, in startups, being as a non-accredited investor, I think that opens up a tremendous amount of opportunity for both sides, like you've mentioned, for founders specifically, for them to get access to, you know, as a single line item on the cap table, but you have access to potentially all kinds of different resources, networks, expertise, and so forth to be able to help on any aspect of, you know, of company growth. So that's super exciting. I would imagine that's of extreme high demand for both sides, and also those that are looking to get, you know, some experience, some of, you know, their feet wet as an angel investor before getting into venture space. I think that's a great opportunity to learn those ropes through that process. So that's very exciting. For maybe talk a little bit further about some of the maybe advice or recommendations that you give to the founders in order to be successful and get the most value out of, you know, solutions as, you know, as Republic or as they launch on your platform. What are some of the, you know, initial ingredients for successful most for them to be able to maximize that experience and just, you know, successfully launch on the platform?
Yeah, definitely. So we have a whole campaign strategy team and, you know, a whole team of, we actually acquired a small company called Aurora, which does specifically crowdfunding marketing. So that's a pretty niche area of marketing, but we did that, right? Because we want to give our founders best in class support as they create their campaign page. So I think there's certainly an emphasis on, you know, making sure that you are creating the best possible campaign page to communicate your message clearly. But I think in the same way that there's a lot of pre-work, if you were to do like an institutional round of fundraising, right? Creating your investor pipeline, setting up a process for how you're going to run that. It's the same for crowdfunding, right? So you want to make sure that, you know, like you have your own email list of all the folks like VCs that rejected you, you know, people that have believed in you since the very beginning, like anyone and everyone, you want to make sure that you have your own list of folks that you want to, you know, share your campaign with so that they can actually invest with you. So I think there's, on the founder side, there's, you know, working with our team, making sure that, you have the strategy and vision for what you want to share as far as your campaign page goes. But then it's also, you know, crowdfunding is two-sided, right? There's, we have the platform and we do have, you know, our own users, which we're super proud that they're able to drive some of that investment volume, but it's also on the founder, right? To bring their own investors to the table as well. And their community to actually invest in the business. So definitely encourage folks to, you know, create that email list of everyone, anybody and everyone that you want to know about this. And then also I think there are certainly ways to like make sure that there's like a press and PR play, right? Maybe if you're a CPG brand, maybe it's something to do with the season of, you know, the season of the year or something like that. Or if you just had like a recent product launch or something like that, like aligning some of these bigger press opportunities with your campaign, I think can be super beneficial if that's possible for you. And then, you know, we have a lot of different things that founders are able to kind of play with themselves. So it is equity-based crowdfunding, but you are able to offer rewards. So whether that's like a t-shirt or swag or a private, I've seen one that was like a private dinner with the founder, right? Like there are lots of ways to incentivize your community to invest. And I think it's important to have a strategy around those types of things. And then also to really think about, you have your big email list, right? Of anyone and everyone that you come across that you would hope would invest in your product or service. But I also think it's important to come up with that kind of core team, right? Like who are those early adopters, early supporters that can also share your message, right? Because we talked a little bit about networking effects before in the Venture Partner Program, but you know, let's say you have five people that have committed, like they're going to share your campaign with their people too, right? With their networks. I think that is a way that is super beneficial to have those people early on that are going to advocate for you. And when they share with their five networks, right, then it multiplies to their 10 networks and then 20 people after that, you know, and it just keeps on going. So those are some tips that I would give to founders if they're thinking about crowdfunding is think about your big list of anybody and everybody you want to share this with. Think about your, you know, core team, inner circle that can commit to sharing and advocating for your campaign. And it's great too, if you even have like, you know, well, there's a lot going on with Twitter nowadays, but you know, some of these influencer types in the social media world, right? It's certainly great to have someone like that, that can advocate for you, especially in your vertical, right? In your kind of area of business. I think that's certainly important if you can get someone on board to do that as well.
Yeah, that's definitely very generous insights that you share as far as executing and prepping as much as possible before you launch, which is very interesting that a lot of that emphasis is on that, you know, planning activities is before you actually launch. There's a lot to be done. There's a lot of pre-work, a lot of pre-marketing that needs to happen, just like with any type of launch. So that I can definitely relate to that on so many levels. As far as, you know, just to shift, you know, gears from a different lens, as far as a career in venture or career in investments or private equity, there is a lot of material out there. There's a lot of, you know, at least within my little bubble that I live in, some of the topics that are being discussed is how do you, you know, not necessarily break into venture capital or, you know, private equity space, but what are some of the opportunities that can come about as a career path or career growth perspective as you get into that space? Can you maybe share a little bit some of your insights of how did you approach that thought process? What were some of the things that maybe your career objectives as you got into this, you know, very, very niche space of, you know, private equity or venture capital in general? Would love to hear your thoughts from that perspective.
Yeah, no, I'm super grateful to share this because I actually, I do remember reading a book about venture capital like my senior year in college, but honestly, this was never really, I certainly got more interested in entrepreneurship by the end, but even then, I never really honestly had the goal of like, I want to be in venture capital or private equity. I more so was following this desire to support founders and to support, you know, missionally driven founders and grow and scale these businesses that I thought could really help change the world and provide human flourishing. And then that just happened to be, you know, through working with founders. And then through working with founders, I realized, oh, I need to learn more investing. And then I came over here. So it's super interesting because you're absolutely right. That's a lot of what gets talked about in this world is how do you break into venture capital and private equity? And I mean, I do think it's certainly a hard industry to break into. And yes, a very niche like expertise for sure. But I would say, I would encourage anyone that's looking to get into this world is that there's so many different pathways to get here, right? I came from nonprofit. So it's not like I had this, you know, traditional finance background and then got into the VC world. So I hope that's an encouragement that there are lots of different places you can come from that can provide a unique perspective in the venture capital space. And that being said, you know, I think there's a lot of value to at Black Girl Ventures. I was the number seven full-time hire, right? So I think there's a lot of value in getting that operator experience, like being in an early stage team, understanding what it's like to build a business. And that honestly makes you more relatable when you talk to founders on the investing side as well, because you can really empathize with what they're going through. So yeah, I would say there's lots of different ways to get to break into VC, or different pathways that you can come at it from. And I would say even within the venture space, there's a lot of different roles. I think sometimes it's easy to just look at like the full-time investor role or associate role, especially when you're young, and think that that's the thing you should do, when in reality, there's lots of different ways to support founders, right? So there's, I think one major way that I see or area that I would definitely encourage people to look into is the platform side of things, right? So that's supporting founders post-investment. We have a small platform team. Most VCs have platform teams that support their companies post-investment. And I think that's another great way to work more hands-on with founders, to do more of the, you know, marketing, business development work, community building work, connecting them with mentors and things like that. If you are interested in the VC space, but maybe aren't 100% sure about investing, working for an early stage tech startup, I think is certainly one way. But there are lots of different ways. And yeah. I think it's easy to look at just like being a full-time investor or a full-time founder. And there are lots of ways, lots of people supporting both of those groups, right? That you can be a part of.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. And for you to be almost in the middle of that, you know, between the founders and the investors, I think that's a lot of opportunity to learn and kind of keep yourself educated on a lot of the things that are going on both sides, which leads me to a further question. In terms of your sources for learning, what is your content diet looking like these days as far as keeping yourself informed and educated on all the things that are going on in your industry? Maybe share some insights from that perspective.
Oh gosh, yeah. Okay, so content diet. I love that. I'm going to start using that. No, I definitely think I would say back to your comment, you know, just about there's the VC world, the early stage tech world is constantly changing, which is something I love about this industry. If you love to learn, I think this is a great industry to be in and to be curious, right? Because even if you're, you know, especially if you're like a generalist investor, like we are, right? We work with all different types of companies. You get to learn about all these different spaces, all these different industries. And that is just fascinating to me. So content diet. Well, I would say currently this is open on my computer, but I'm reading the like Crunchbase, you know, insights into Q3 of the global venture trends, especially trying to understand some of these, you know, VC trends on the global scale, not just in the US. But oh gosh, I mean, there's so many things, like so many great Twitter threads, honestly. Like I would say Harlem Capital does a great job of putting out a lot of educational content around VC and also breaking into VC. So if that's you in the audience, I would highly recommend following them on Twitter, and not just them, but all of the partners, you know, all of the individual folks at their firm, they put out a lot of really great content. And then, I mean, I learn a lot from our venture partners, right? Like a lot of our venture partners are constantly publishing podcasts, different blogs, like one of our venture partners, Matt Schar, who I was in the Netherlands at his conference that his group put on. He just published, you know, an article about Web3 and financial inclusion and how Web3 can make, you know, fintech more inclusive in these emerging markets. So I'm always learning from our venture partners and from our community, I think first and foremost. And something that, you know, we try to do is create that space within the venture partner program. So for instance, earlier or later on in December, we're doing a you know, private venture partner session all about emerging managers, right? And what does it look like to be an emerging fund manager? And I think there's the content that you consume as far as like social media, books, podcasts, things like that. But I think there's also this, you know, the learning of always being curious, right? And every person you have a chance to learn something from, whether they're the CEO or the janitor, right? And so I think that's another way that I just try to keep myself open. And I've been trying to do more, you know, in-person coffee. So those are some things I'm taking in, and then also looking to engage in conversation to grow. And something that I got really interested in while I was in Europe the past 2 weeks for vacation and then for work. And something that I realize I'm super interested in is energy. So if anybody has any, you know, great podcast recommendations or books, I'd love to read them.
That's super cool. And thanks for sharing that. Lots of different resources and very diverse content diet. So, and just like yourself, I tend to gravitate towards learning from others, hence the reason for the podcast, because it's a great opportunity for me to talk to, you know, folks of, you know, different spectrums of life and different career paths and stuff like that. So I definitely enjoy that and can relate to what you're talking about as far as learning from your network. And Maria, in conclusion, maybe think of an advice or a series of advice that you received early on in your career when you were first starting out, maybe to those, you know, to that, those series of advice that you continuously refer to even these days. Maybe share some thoughts from that perspective. What were some of the things that really helped you through the journey?
Yeah, that's a fabulous question, actually. So the first thing that comes to mind immediately is I took this class in college called Business Fellows. It's a heavy emphasis on, you know, sure, business, but really business leadership, right? And how are we, who are we as leaders? How are we formed? And then how does that in turn form businesses and then businesses, society, right? And a big thing that was talked about in Fellows, the class that I took, was especially when you're young in your career, it's probably materially more important for you to be close to a decision maker and a leader, somebody that you can follow, than let's say like a big name, right? So when I came out of college, you know, I went to go work at a family foundation, which is not, you know, let's say it's not this big venture capital fund or Bain Consulting, something like that, right? But it gave me a chance to work directly under like senior leadership, which is something that I really cared about because I wanted to understand how leaders operate. And you do that by working with leaders, you know, as closely as you can. And when you get to work with these senior leaders, right, you actually gain like responsibility and accountability and ownership at a younger age, which is another great thing about working at startups that I know not everyone has the like, you know, risk tolerance and ability to endure change to work at an early stage startup. But I actually do think it's an incredible career path, especially for young folks that are trying to figure out what they want to do, you know, to work at a place where you have that responsibility at a young age. You just learn how to fail quicker, right? And I think you're in a place where risk-taking is really encouraged and engaged. And then that's super important in order to take those larger risks, like starting your own thing or investing like heavily, you know, right? That all takes like a high level of risk. So I would just encourage people, like no matter where you are in your career, but I think especially for young people, like go somewhere where you're going to learn a lot, where you really believe in the leadership that you can follow, and that you're also going to be able to actively engage in having, you know, authority and building that authority to like change and influence things. One of the most powerful things that also happened to me when I was early in my career was I worked for a female founder named Sarah, and she would ask me, we'd be in these strategy meetings, right? And she would ask me, what do you think, Maria? And I was so taken aback at first, right? Because I'm like 22 or 23 sitting in these meetings. But that was actually such a powerful gift because she helped me develop my voice. And that is an incredibly important thing when you're, you know, young and working is to develop your own voice, to speak up. And also, I think one last thing I would mention is managing up, like, especially in an early stage environment, like you need to be like, yes, obviously there's work that comes down to you that you execute on, but you also want to be managing up and advocating for yourself because like, even if you work in a very supportive work environment, there's nobody there that's going to, their job is not to advocate for you, right? Like your job is to advocate for yourself. And that looks like a lot of different things. Sure, it can look like compensation, but I think more importantly, it looks like professional development and asking for the opportunities that you want in the workplace. And this is the last thing I'll share because I know I've been on this one for a little bit, but when I was at Black Girl Ventures, that was another really powerful moment was that I was really interested in, you know, working more directly with the founders, and there was a chance and an opportunity to work in the accelerator. And we were at a whole team meeting and, you know, our leader asked like, does anybody want to do this? And I was scared, right? Like, it's not that I wasn't scared, but I knew that that was an opportunity that I wanted and it would challenge me to grow. And so I raised my hand and I was able to do that. And it was such an honor. And that honestly really helped me move into working more with founders and developing that passion. So advocate for yourself. And be thoughtful about where you go to work because it does matter.
That's super cool. I love that advice, and I love how you added a lot of those personal, you know, examples from the experiences that you've had. So that definitely resonated on so many levels. Maria, I can't thank you enough for your time today. It was very short and insightful conversation. I personally learned quite a bit. What I love doing with all the podcast guests on Ivy Podcast is do a follow-up recording in about a year where we revisit the conversation from a year ago and see if everything we've discussed still makes sense, still applies. So I'm definitely looking forward to doing that with you as well.
Definitely. No, thank you so much for having me. And just as a last plug, if you are interested in being a venture partner at Republic, please get in touch. You know, it's a private community of investors that are also sourcing us deal flow for the Republic crowdfunding platform. It's great if you have a lot of excess deal flow that you don't know what to do with, but would still love to help those founders. So if that's you, please get in touch. And thank you so much for having me, Dawn.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.